Welcome, everyone. My name's Simon Terry, and I'm from Change Agents Worldwide. Change Agents Worldwide is a global network of collaboration specialists who work with organisations to help them improve the way their organisations work. What I'm going to do today is talk to you about working out loud in Office 365. The definition of working out loud came from Bryce Williams, who works at Eli Lilly, and he described it originally as visible work plus narration of work. And the key concept here is getting members of your teams to share work in progress with their organization so that they can improve that work, they can benefit from the contributions of the network, and also so that they can enable others to learn as they go. It's interesting, the theme of working out loud has been one of the key elements through this conference. If you go think back to the keynotes, they were talking about digital transformation and practices like agile and design thinking and collaboration are woven into that. Working out loud is at the heart of each of those practices, because what they're all about is moving away from our traditional model of work, where we work things through until they're perfect, we create a finished artifact, and then we send it out to stakeholders for feedback. What we've seen happens in that scenario is you produce a piece of work and send it out, and it doesn't meet requirements or there's extensive rework involved. These key practices and the practice of working out loud are the opportunity to bring that sharing into the process, to really start to share at the idea stage, gathering feedback, development of designs, and then obviously moving forward into implementation. We need this sharing because we're faced with silos everywhere in our organization. Not just the organizational silos and the technology silos we've seen, where data gets stored in particular places and is inaccessible to other people, or work is being done in one part of the organization and no one else knows. Working out loud has a fabulous opportunity to lift that up and share it across the organization so that you can benefit with better reuse of work and better awareness of the work that's going on. The other area in which we have silos is some of the most valuable knowledge in your organization is tacit knowledge. The knowledge your experts have developed over years and years of work that's not written down anywhere. In fact, many of your experts would struggle to write it down as a process because it's just, I know these two things come together, I do it in this way. The way to draw that work, tacit knowledge out and share it in your organization is to have your experts and practitioners work out loud, making their work visible to others so that others can watch how they do it, and actually challenging them to reflect on where the opportunities are and what they're doing at each step, because it's starting to make some of that tacit knowledge visible to others. If we think through how children learn when they're playing a game, it's exactly this mode. They try things out. It's a collaborative process of having a conversation, working their way through the stages of the game, making suggestions, working back, agile adaption as they try new things, and celebrating the journey as they go. What working out loud can do is start to bring that opportunity to your organization so that you can benefit from working out loud in all your teams. But obviously what we're talking about is a significant change to the way people are used to working. People are used to making sure it's perfect, making sure my boss will be happy with it before it leaves my desk, let alone leaves my organization. So what we need to focus on is how we help people get over what I like to call the trembling finger. If you've ever posted on a social media site, you have that moment just before you click submit or send where you wonder whether this is the right post to send. What we need to do when we're thinking through this kind of sharing is help people to understand the benefits that can flow from this kind of collaboration, that their work can become easier, more effective, they can have better engagement with stakeholders as their work's being delivered, and in fact, they can even achieve better outcomes. And also that they can benefit from the community that forms around their work and the work practices they're involved in. They can learn from others. What we're seeing is that when you look at the entire Office 365 suite, the roadmaps that have been outlined here at Ignite show Microsoft setting out to enable this transparent kind of work across the platforms. So we've got SharePoint and Yammer and places and Outlook groups, places where you can explicitly start to share your work very early on, create very dynamic groups and opportunities to collaborate around work and have the permissions from that work managed effectively in the environment. So what we're starting to see is that kind of one-click sharing and collaboration being built into the platform. And what's going to occur gradually is Microsoft sees that as critical to the entire Office 365 landscape. If you saw both the slides on the roadmaps on day one, you know, groups and collaboration is one of the core foundational capabilities that they see in Office 365. And it's importantly, it's supported by algorithmic intelligence. And I'll come back and talk about that in a moment, because that actually has a significant outcome for your users as well. So what are some of the changes we need people to adopt as they start to work out loud? There's a fabulous book that's been written by John Stepper, who was the head of collaboration for Deutsche Bank and is now a collaboration consultant. And what he did was wrote about that for organizations to succeed in this new and different way of working, they need to focus on five key things. You need to help employees to think about the relationships in their work, not just producing an artifact, but actually thinking about who are all the stakeholders, what are the sources of their information, where are they actually going to share information. You need to make work visible, and you need to do that visibility in a purposeful way. We're not talking here about spam. We're not talking here about bragging and, you know, standing up in front of the whole company. We're talking about being very careful and choosing the right group at the right time to enable effective sharing. And the other two mindsets are more cultural ones. You want people to work with a sense of generosity, the idea that by giving of themselves to others, they will get back in return. There's a fantastic book by Adam Grant called Give and Take, which actually talks about how some of the most successful people are those who approach their work with an idea of generosity. They're building reputation, they're building relationships by giving of themselves, and they actually get a dividend that far exceeds what they do. That's sometimes the complete opposite to how we performance manage our people today. Just focus on your job, just get it done, do it all within your responsibilities, and don't distract anyone else. So we need to start to think about this as a change in the way we work. And lastly is the concept of growth mindsets, which comes from the book Mindsets by Carol Dweck. Again, identifying that introducing that sense of experimentation, a more agile learning approach, being prepared to treat shortfalls as a growth opportunity, a chance to learn more. This is a key cultural value that's underpinning the future ways of working that organisations need to adapt. So if we look at a way to start this in our own personal practice, many years ago I was working in an Australian bank and as a senior executive, and I wanted to start to share my work more publicly. So what I did was I tried to create three simple daily habits to lift my work up and make it more transparent to the teams around me. I was using Yammer at the time, so a core part of the Office 365 suite now. And what I was doing was at the beginning of the day, tied to having my first cup of coffee, I'd just share what I was working on that day. Here, I've got a big meeting, we're doing a presentation to a client, just to enable my team and others in the organisation to understand what I was working on. At lunchtime, I went and looked for an opportunity to be generous. I went and looked for a chance to share my expertise, my knowledge, or my network with another person in the organisation. Someone would have posted a query or want help with a problem, and I'd try and respond to that. And at the end of the day, I would take the chance to celebrate someone's achievement during the day. We just don't do enough celebration in our organisations of individuals' efforts. Making a daily practice of recognition is an enormously powerful thing. Doing this approach, I immediately started to see benefits as a senior executive in the organization. The first thing that happened is the volume of emails I received dropped. Because there's a lot of emails in your organization which are requests for help, status update queries. By being more transparent about my work and the teams around me, many of the emails that used to route through me actually got directed directly to the person who was able to find them, because people started to understand the networks around my business better. So there were direct productivity benefits. I even had the benefit once in one of those very large organizational meetings, about 20 people sitting around the table. They were going around discussing a particular issue, and because I'd already worked out loud on that issue on the way to the meeting, the chair of the meeting, when it came for me to state my position, said, "Simon, I think we can save some time in the meeting because you've already shared what you want to say here. So most of the people in the room have already heard it. Let's get right into the meat of the conversation." And again, there's an efficiency benefit that's coming out of it. Now, if you want to spread working out loud beyond individual practice, and if you want to support your individuals in spreading this in the organization, John Stepper on his site, workingoutloud.com, has free guides that can be downloaded for peer support circles to help organizations support individuals in achieving a purposeful work or career goal through working out loud. Those guides cover a 12-week process of small groups of 4 to 5 people working together to help each other learn and develop the practice of working out loud and to achieve a tangible work or career outcome. It's a really powerful process in giving people a chance to experiment and learn with this new practice. And importantly, it enables that practice to be embedded over a 12-week process and supported by the accountability to other people in the organization. Just spending a minute on accountability, one of the commonest concerns organizations have about social forms of collaboration as compared to, say, sending messages by email, is they often say, "Well, if I send an email, I know someone's in the to line and they're accountable for that request. I've got direct accountability in that form." It's important to remember that that often depends upon hierarchical authority. You know, that person reports to them or that person has a responsibility to do that thing. But what we can see is that kind of email-based approach breaks down between business units where they're not aligned on their strategies or their performance targets, and then there's a whole bunch of negotiations. One of the powers of lifting that work up and making it visible across the organization is to create a new form of accountability. You can create network accountability in your organization. No one wants to be the operations team that always lets the other business units down, and it's widely known. Reputation is one of our most powerful sources of accountability in organizations. If you go back to people's reluctance to share, one of the reasons people are reluctant to share is they don't want sharing to influence their reputation. So organizations that have adopted this very transparent way of working actually discover the power of transparency to enable autonomy, to enable greater ways of working, and to create new trust in what their employees are doing. If you can see what everyone's doing and the network is holding them to account, all of a sudden you can release the bounds of control a bit more. You get a lot more of the adaptive, creative potential. You also benefit from diversity, because guess what? When you start lifting work up and sharing it more widely, more people can get involved, and sometimes not the natural experts. In one organization I worked with, the head of technology was very skeptical about this approach. They had a very large legacy IT infrastructure, all programming still in COBOL, and they were, "Well, we know all the COBOL experts in the organization. You couldn't possibly help us by working out loud. We've got all of them. We can put our arms around all of them." Through an exercise around working out loud, we actually identified that there were a number of people in other roles in the organization who had left technology, but actually had deep expertise in programming in legacy languages. And they were people that could be drawn on in emergencies or situations where they needed to clear blockages. It was an example of moving beyond that, we know where the experts are. So if we look at why this is important to your organisation, even if you're still reluctant, I want to talk for a minute about Delve. So when I saw a demo of Delve, I started to see Microsoft building Working Out Loud into the Office 365 suite. This tool surfaces the files, the information, the people that the algorithm determines are relevant to your work. Now, obviously, you need those people to have allowed access to that information, but Delve is trying to bring you a transparent view of information you should have as you work. And it's enabling you to then pick up that information and move it into your work. So sharing it to a group to discuss it, putting it into an email, starting a conversation with that person. So this is an example of what I talked about earlier, how Microsoft sees the power of algorithmic intelligence to underpin people's work, to make it easier, to make it more effective, to remove the search and really drive that step forward to enable people to become much more autonomous and agile. So Delve is starting to bring this behavior into your organization, and it will be uncomfortable for users who haven't developed their Working Out Loud skills to have draft files that they're still working on accessible to their colleagues. And there's two responses to that. You as an organization might turn Delve off and say it's too frightening and we go it away, and then you lose all the benefits. Or a user might restrict their information from Delve, and again, you start to lose the benefits, and importantly, that user starts to lose the performance effectiveness that comes from this approach. So it's really important as you move forward to think about this practice. Working Out Loud is being driven into organizations by the ongoing digital transformation. Modern work practices deeply involve transparency of work. And we see organizations who've actually taken this to the complete extreme. Many of them in the startup cultures, and organizations like Buffer and others operate with total transparency across their organizations. You don't have to go that far. But what you can do by creating a culture and a conversation about Working Out Loud in your organization is just get people to think about, what information do I have that I might share with another team, or I might share with a broader set of stakeholders, or I might just make available for discovery by others in my organization. Because when you start to build that practice and support it by a culture in your organization that allows for Working Out Loud, recognizes it and celebrates it, you'll start to see some significant benefits in the way your people work and your ability to leverage some of the magic that's going on in the Office 365 platform. So if this is a great practice, Working Out Loud, if you're looking to foster adoption of social technologies and social collaboration in your organization, it's one of the key tools I recommend to my clients to get them started on that social collaboration journey. There are many tools to support adoption that are available through Fast Track, and this is available to everyone. The website's here, so if you're interested in more information about Fast Track. And lastly, I just want to finish with an opportunity that we all have to actually work out loud and benefit from the expertise in Microsoft and also in the Microsoft customer and partner networks. The Microsoft technology community's just been launched, and it's the successor to the Office 365 community. It is a vibrant place with deep resources and deep experts to have ongoing conversations about the work we all do with Microsoft products and changing the way work goes. So I'd encourage people to go to the technology community, join it, and practice some of your own Working Out Loud there, or at least benefit from the Working Out Loud of others. If you're ever interested in staying in contact with me or learning more about Working Out Loud, we've got materials on Working Out Loud in the Thought Leadership Group in the Microsoft technology community. And I'll be very happy to stay around and take some questions after this session. So thank you, everyone.